American Auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
Well, we're going to do you on the interview.
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
All right, roll along with the final hour here. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710seattlesports.com. God, the KJ Hour is so fun, man. What an awesome treat. I got to be honest. I love the opportunity to just kind of get behind the scenes. I don't know. You guys know me. You know some of my heroes in this business and the people that I listen to and appreciate. And I am an unabashed fan of what Howard Stern does. And I'm sure there are times where you could hear something I do and go, oh, he stole that from Howard. I probably do. I fully admit it. I do a different style radio show than he does, obviously. But I think he is the greatest gift in this business. And I listen to his new interviews that he does. I think they're phenomenal. I think he's as good an interviewer as there is out there. I listen to guys I don't even like. I don't like Paul Simon. I listened to Paul Simon for like an hour the other day because I couldn't turn it off. I like Simon and Garfunkel. I always thought I just liked Art Garfunkel, but I don't like Paul Simon. I was fascinated by this interview. Anyway, I love the way he gets behind the scenes, and because he's genuinely curious, at least he comes off that way, about what's going on in places that you can't get to. And I love that. And every time he's, you know, asking Paul, okay, so you were there and what was it like when you met, you know, the Rolling Stones? And I can't wait to hear those answers. I love the same thing with KJ. So I try to think about it that way of like, what would Howard ask this guy? I think he would want to know what it's like when they all get together and they all hang out. I could have gone a full hour, honestly, just of asking him questions about the 2013 team getting together, because I love getting that little insight into it.
This also speaks to like how fascinated you are by front offices and GMs and
I am.
A lot of that.
I
so
do love
this,
that.
This is the other side of it,
yes.
Right? Like you get to hear some of the pieces that you don't hear from X's and O's, and that is so interesting to guys like you and obviously a lot of fans.
Well, and we don't dig into, you know, like his personal life like Howard might or anything like that.
Of course
But I think the way he does that, and I hope to try to emulate it, because I think he does a heck of a job with it. If I've come anywhere even near that, I would take it as a gigantic compliment. But hearing those stories of, you know, who got big, who looks great.
Say, how about KJ and the Body Show?
I can't help. I love it. I love getting that little inside access to what those guys are doing.
Talking about Sweezy, just in case
we ever talk to Sweezy,
just in case.
Anyway, if you missed a minute of that, go back and listen to the KJ interview. It's all up at seattlesports.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Right, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. Go check it out because the whole thing was great. It's a great hour. The first 15 minutes of it to me were just awesome.
Yeah,
if I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that. So.
I love the fact that you hear this a lot with people who make art, right? And they're like, oh, I get to experience it with sort of fresh ears when you grow up and change. So like 10 years later, you get to watch the Super Bowl. Like you get to watch an iconic moment that when you're so present for, you don't have the 30,000 foot view of it until you get to, you know, have some time away. And
True. You
get to come back to that stadium and see these guys and see them that look, they've grown up and they've changed and they got families or a wife is pregnant or whatever it is. Having some distance from that has got to make it sink in a lot in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. And it's too bad that it didn't work that way for everybody. Maybe one day Earl and a couple other folks will find a way to kind of move past that.
But maybe the 20 year.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, it was great stuff from KJ. So go download that, seattlesports.com or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, whatever. Let's see. In the meantime, I guess the other big story today, of course, is the Mariners getting back to it. And obviously, we've been talking a lot of football for the last hour and a half. You know, yesterday was so depressing. I don't know. I got a text from a friend, Justin, of yours, probably even more than mine, with the Mariners. He's like, why are you so morose? Why are you so morose today? Use the word morose.
What?
And not referring to John Morosi, just talking about me like, Salk, you're morose. Win tonight, win tomorrow, and everything's all good. You're right back in it. And I knew that was true. I did say that over and over again, maybe in a depressed voice, maybe in a, oh my God, will it never happen tone. But I did kind of have that view of like, okay, look, backs up against the wall. You got to do what you got to do. But every time I try to get excited about this team, they sucker punch me in the gut.
Yeah, your reverse psychology worked.
But I hate when people make sports about them and what they do at home and the superstitions and all of that. So I know it's not about me. But my God, man. This team has such an infuriating ability to drive you all the way past your breaking point before totally redeeming themselves with a game like last night. Yeah. And then the moment you get psyched, okay, here we go. 10 games to finish it off. Go to Texas. Bang, they just get swept and look like dogs in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I took Mora's dog out to this meet, and she's rolling around on her back in the mud.
Oh,
I'm like,
she was.
Bruin, what are you doing? Stop that. That's what the Mariners look like a turtle on its back in Texas. So I don't know, man. This team is infuriating. I like them. Yeah. I hate them. Yep. I want them to win it all. I hope they lose tonight and just end it. I can't
no.
stand this freaking team. They are driving me insane. And mostly because I love them and do think they're talented
yes.
and just want them to reach their freaking potential.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm yelling. I don't mean to. But from what I understand, there's tickets available tonight. Go support them. Go watch. I'm not.
You sound like you're...
I'm going to be at home.
You sound like you're talking about a kid that's like flunking out of college. Like, you were a 4.0 student and you're throwing it away at the senior year.
I feel that way sometimes. I swear I sometimes feel that way. This team has exhausted me. They have taken me to the brink and back, and I don't know what to do with them anymore other than to say that I refuse to predict their future ever. Mm-hmm. I refuse to even care to guess on what they're going to do next. All I know is when they play their game, they win. When they don't play their game, they tend to lose. Yep. And what I loved about yesterday compared to what we saw over the weekend when they looked so lousy is that they played their game of baseball, not the Astros game, which is different. Aaron Goldsmith said this beautifully and quickly yesterday. I am jealous that he summed this up so well with Bump and Stacy.
The Mariners are a run prevention team. Like, that's how they win games. They keep the other team from scoring, and they score just enough more times than not. They need to get back to that. And they need to play with the lead early.
That's right.
Yep.
And that's what they did. Just scratch out a couple runs. They didn't hit a home run until what? The ninth inning when Ty France went yard?
Eighth,
whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't hit any other home runs in the game, right? They scratched out some runs, kind of did their thing. And they got great pitching.
They gifted a couple runs. Like, you finally got some of that luck.
And
that
they, got
your
some,
way.
They got some puck luck, right? The baseball version of puck luck. But they pitched. That's what they are. They're a run prevention team.
JD
and they
the 509
did a heck of a job
wants you to take it down a notch. Your veins are popping out of your
forehead. They are. Man, I'm sorry. Yours aren't? This team has driven me insane.
I know. That's why I said yesterday, I'm not giving up.
They have driven me completely.
I don't have it in me.
Completely
Go
nuts.
Tonight.
But I'm going to watch because I'm addicted and I can't stop. Now, I will admit, Justin, I've hedged my bets. I have
you
hedged.
Explain this. Are you willing to explain this?
I think I can. I've hedged my bets on the Mariners, and I feel terrible about it.
Not actual bets.
No, not an actual bet.
Of course.
My just sort of being. If they win and make it into the playoffs postseason, I will be unabashedly
thrilled.
Thrilled.
Yes.
I can't wait. That's what I want to happen.
Yes.
If they don't make it in, I'm going to Coachella to go to, what's it called, Power Trip?
Yeah.
I'm going. I got a flight. I got a car.
Everything's refundable?
Everything's refundable.
Right.
I got a place to stay. Tickets
it's
still
not
available.
Quite hedging if everything's refundable.
Hey, but I'm hedging in my mind.
Okay.
Right? Like, in my mind, if it wins, great. And if they don't, I've got a backup plan for my life. I'm going to go watch heavy metal music for 3 straight nights down in Coachella Valley. So I am good to go either way.
I want you to miss that concert because that will mean that the Mariners have made the playoffs.
I want to miss the concert too.
Yes.
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But if they don't make it, I got a little something extra on my mind. All right. We'll come right back, give you everything you need to know, and then we'll Washington Wednesday coming up in 20. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it's what they needed to show a better eye, to show what they were capable of, to make some just good old-fashioned baseball luck. They did it themselves. They took it into their own hands, and everything worked out the way it was supposed to for the Mariners yesterday. It all starts with the starting pitching, of course. I thought George Kirby threw a heck of a game. Went six strong, didn't allow a run. Scott really impressed by what he saw.
You know, George, he can do a lot of different things, and it's, you know, we saw what Verlander did last year. He's 40 years old. He's been in this league a long time. George is not. And for George to make the adjustments and do what he does, as young as he is, it's awesome to watch. And we should be privileged we get a chance to watch him move forward with us, because that's not easy to do when you're a young pitcher. Hey, I'm typically going to lean on my heater. Well, tonight I'm going to lean on my off-speed to set up my heater, and he did it. He didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, he was really good. Kind of pitched backwards a little bit. Was more sinker slider than normal, and then coming in with the fastball late for some strikeouts. Really, really excellent game by Kirby. I don't even know if he was the best pitcher in the game, though. Oh, my gosh, Matt Brash yesterday was just phenomenal. Coming in with the bases loaded, nobody out, and going and getting six outs. He was great. As for the offensive side of it, yeah, there was some offense. Ty France with a late home run. And guess who else keeps delivering?
And the 3-0 pitch to Cal. Swinging a broken bat looper down the right field line. It's going to fall in. A fair ball. Rounding third, heading home is Rojas. He'll score. Julio to third, the long throw. And it gets on by Bregman all the way to the dugout. And Julio's going to be sent home. The ball rolls into the dugout again. Julio scores. Around to third goes Cal Raleigh on a broken bat single down the right field line. Rojas scores. So does Julio as the ball gets away from Bregman. Two runs are in, and the Mariners now lead the Astros by a score of 4-0 here in the bottom of the fifth inning. It was a broken bat hit off the bat of Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, what was going on with the Astros last night? Just throwing the ball around like a little league team. You don't see that very often.
Yeah,
they just became unglued at times.
Well, the team just got swept by the Royals.
I guess that's true. Veteran players, though, making some really bad mistakes and some ugly baseball from them. Mariners take advantage. Good on them. It's what they needed. They also got help everywhere else. Rangers get blown out, actually, by the Angels. Blue Jays lose as well to the Yankees on a late home run. So all good news, and get right back to it tonight. They really need something out of Bryce Miller. I mean, no other way to say it. They need Bryce Miller to have his best start. This is it, man. Give it whatever you got, because if you don't get it done today, there probably isn't going to be much of a tomorrow.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, Seahawks getting healthier. The Giants a little bit as well. Their biggest star, Saquon Barkley, has been hurt, but it sounds like he might be able to get through some walkthroughs this week. If he can, he might be able to play. I don't know how effective he'd be able to be. It would seem like a running back would kind of need that ankle, but that's just me. Giants have not been good so far. Very sluggish start to the season. And I just keep looking at Daniel Jones, and I don't get it. I've never gotten it. I don't see it. I used to say, you know, get him and Drew Lock confused. I don't know how one of those guys is a backup and the other just got paid as much as he did. 4 years, $160 million, 82 guaranteed. I don't get it. On the other side, Geno Smith makes $3,105 with 27 guaranteed. Geno's better in every phase of the game, short of being a running back. Yeah, all right, Daniel Jones is faster, but other than that, Geno does it all. And guess what? He's making the people around him better. Mark Schlereth really likes the job that he and Shane Waldron are doing together.
But the bottom line is he started two, you know, backup offensive tackles. And I think there's a couple things that, you know, that resonate with me when I watched that film was how quickly Geno and this offense got rid of the football. So that's an offensive coordinator who understands what my issues are, up front. And so let me devise a game plan that this ball is going to get out of the quarterback's hand quickly so these guys don't have to bleed.
Yeah, it is a good game plan, but Geno's also handled it incredibly well. Got to give the dude some credit. He has had a fantastic start to the season, and I think the Seahawks have the quarterback edge on Monday night.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, speaking of a quarterback edge, UW has had it pretty much every game they've played in May in every game, short of USC. That's how good Michael Penix has been this year. Could he win the Heisman? Yeah. They probably got to beat USC. They probably need to get into the college football playoff. Phil Steele set up some of the criteria before the season began.
I would list him as a potential Heisman candidate. You look at the Washington schedule this year, there's a chance they could open up 8-0 before they travel to face USC. And if they go into USC and win that game head-to-head with Caleb Williams, all of a sudden you would make Michael Penix your Heisman favorite at that point.
He would be the Heisman favorite at that point. And I think based on what he's done so far, I would absolutely agree. UW really has had a fantastic start to this year. Joe Klatt has them as the second best team in his power rankings in the country. Athletic says they're the best team in the conference, as does the AP poll. So things looking up right now for local college football. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour. I should also say no Kraken game tonight. They're off. And then they get another split squad tomorrow. So half the team plays here, the other against Vancouver. The other half goes up to Vancouver and plays the Canucks up there. So you get just an opportunity to get more guys in the game. Just let them get some experience. Let them skate. Let them get up there because they got a lot of guys in camp. And looking forward to that as well. It was fun getting to watch the other night. Certainly needed it as the Mariners were deciding to lay the proverbial egg that night.
You were watching the Root broadcast last night, right? Because you don't have TBS?
Right.
Okay. Did they show much of the ball that got launched back onto the field for...
Not really.
They explained it either?
Yes.
Okay, because I was getting a lot of texts.
A little bit. So, yeah, a little bit. So what we saw, Kirby raise his hands and then get drilled in the stomach with the ball. And
thankfully, his arms were up.
Yeah, and it wasn't that hard. It didn't look like,
anyway. That ball was thrown from a good 100 feet away. It's going to be carrying some speed.
It didn't look on TV like it was like it hit him very hard.
Nah, I mean, it was lofted, but it was still thrown because you have to get it over that net. Like,
right,
it was thrown from away. So I think Kyle Tucker was a foul ball, bounced up into the suites, kind of ping pong around. And like everything, like every time that happens, your eyes go to watch it. You're like, see if a fan's going to make a catch, see if it hits and knock popcorn or beer over. Bounces off the terrace, straight down to the fans. And I saw the guy catch it from where I was in the control room there. And it just, not even looking, just looked up, catches his hands, and immediately turns and fires without like aim, just nothing.
Right.
Probably his moment like, oh, this is Astros ball. Like, this is going back. Like, I don't want it. You know what I mean? You give that kid 100 tries.
Right.
He's never hitting anybody.
And he wasn't trying to hit Kirby.
No. He was wearing a Mariners City Connect jersey. Like, they used to try to hit anybody. Just, wow, what an unbelievably boneheaded and unfortunate.
Well, thankfully, it hit him in the stomach, not the face.
That's
or something like that. I mean,
or
like, it obviously could have been a lot worse.
Ugh.
Yeah. Kirby's reaction is pretty funny.
What just happened? Where did that come
from? We do have some sound of Kirby, actually, after the game. I guess I could play this for you. Here is, let me see if I can find it. Some George Kirby following the game. He was asked about the ball hitting him, and I kind of like his response.
I mean, it surprised the hell out of me. I thought it was umpire because I had my hand up, like, asked for the ball. I thought he threw it. I mean, it was an impressive throw. I'll give him that, but, you know, like, what the heck?
God, he sounds like Kelnick. Like, that's all I hear when I hear him talk.
He sounds young.
He just sounds like Kelnick to me. That is an impressive throw. Like, what are you going to do? It was a heck of a throw by that guy. No, if it was the umpire, Dave Sims would have let us know. Dave Sims, no one spends more time talking about the umps than Dave. I love it.
He loves
it. Like, you listen to a Dave Sims broadcast either on the radio or on TV, and he's like, oh, of course, second base. You got Lance Barksdale. Nice play over there by Lance. Like, Dave loves telling you, oh, good play over there, Tim Cheetah playing ump at first base today. You're like, okay, Dave, like, he knows them all. You will, by the end of every broadcast, hear all four umpires' names mentioned, not just at the beginning when he introduces them, but throughout the broadcast. Dave, they are characters in Dave's broadcast of the game. I love it. It's one of those things that I just always notice. All right, let's come back and talk about these M's. What do they need to do tonight? What can they still accomplish? Why are they here? And why did Jeff Passan annoy me so much yesterday? It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, Seattle Sports app as well.
Washington Wednesdays is powered by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Yeah, Huskies heading down to the desert this week to take on Arizona. That's been a house of horrors at times for UW. They do have a much better team this year, and this is a good, good football squad going down to take on Arizona. I know there's going to be some more on this on the station today. Adam Rittenberg is going to join Bump and Stacy today. He's one of my favorites, does a great job on the college football beat. So stick around and you will hear that coming up during their show. So Mariners get back to it tonight. They've got to win just like they did yesterday. This is must win territory. You're probably not going to get back ahead of Texas. Probably. It's not impossible. I mean, you're going to still play them four times. It's not mathematically impossible. And, you know, that's good news, I guess, in theory for you. You want to get and jump ahead of Houston before those final four games. Houston still has Arizona to play. Arizona is in it, right? They're still battling hard. That's a decent baseball team. So you really want to, you know, give yourself a chance at least during these last four games. And that means you got to win tonight, because getting ahead of Houston is probably your best way into the playoffs at this point. So I'm going to watch these games. I watched yesterday as morose and sad and angry as I found myself. Of course, I was still going to watch. And, you know, it was great. I love that game yesterday. That's the way I want to see the Mariners play. I went back and, you know, I fought with Jeff Passan a little bit yesterday. And by the way, it's all good. Jeff and I will text afterwards. Like, we have a good relationship. And I was, you know, listened to it again this morning. And I still found myself sort of bothered by a couple of the things Jeff said. Not personally, but just I disagree with him. And I agree with some of it. Like, I do agree with Jeff that going after somebody in the trade market may be the best long-term plan for this group, right? You heard Jeff say it. Ownership's going to need to make a bold move in the trade market this year to try to, you know, get things to the next level. I would like that. I would welcome that. I think that there are some guys available this offseason that may be very good fits for the Mariners. Now, it's not everybody and not necessarily the same names that you might have on Jeff's list. Here was Jeff's list of trade candidates.
Before free agency, I come up with the largest and nerdiest spreadsheet of all time. And let me list you the names on the trade candidate page right now. There is about 10 of them. The top of the list is Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Tyler Glasnow, Shane Bieber, Max Fried, Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Paul Goldschmidt, Brandon Drury, Alex Verdugo, Willy Adames.
So five of those are pitchers.
The best fit on that list for the Mariners is Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
The best fit are Pete Alonso with Goldschmidt second.
And how old is Goldschmidt?
Paul Goldschmidt's not coming here.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt, if he goes anywhere, is going to the Dodgers. I don't believe he would go anywhere other than to the Dodgers. I would be shocked if Paul Goldschmidt comes here. So let's clean that name out. I don't think there's any chance that happens. And I don't want to get too deep into an offseason conversation yet.
Right.
Alonso, it's an interesting fit. I don't know if you can pull it off. I've heard that he doesn't really want to leave New York either, but, you know, maybe you find a way to get it done and he ends up liking it here and he's your new first baseman. You could use some pop at first base. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you have, what, 12 home runs out of the first base spot all the year. So they could use more power from a premier power position. So we'll come back to that here in a minute. What do I think the Mariners are more likely to do? More likely is that they end up dealing someone like a Logan Gilbert. If you're thinking big, like Jeff said, you're probably dealing from strength, and that is your starting pitching staff, knowing Robbie Ray's coming back, you're going to get Hancock back, like all the guys that were gone are going to come back, and that you can go out there and sign more in the offseason. I mean, Jeff gave you some of the trade names, but a Blake Snell and some others. I mean, you may be able to lure a free agent candidate here on the pitching side a whole lot easier than you can on the hitting side.
Agreed.
So now all of a sudden you have, and we'll say it's Logan. I don't want to see Logan go. I love the guy.
I don't want to break up
Cal, no. I know. I don't want to either, and I love the man, but he may be the most tradable asset you have. And what if you can get back one of the young studs from Baltimore? That to me is a much more likely direction to see the Mariners go, because they like long-term controllable assets, younger guys. Now, if they think they get a shot long-term and Juan Soto is going to pair with Julio in that outfield, yeah, you do it. You absolutely find a way to get something like that done and then try to convince him to stay. I think there's a lot of merit there. But my gut tells me if they go in a direction, it's a deal with somebody like the Orioles or maybe the Cardinals for some young, high-powered, controllable players, and that's the direction they go. Anyway, that's where Jeff and I agree.
Okay. I was going to say, the part you don't agree is, I'm assuming, what's
next. I don't agree necessarily on that. I felt like Jeff asked me the question yesterday, why haven't you believed in the Rangers? And then I never really got a chance to answer.
Uh-huh.
The reason I don't believe in the Rangers is because of what happened to the Rangers. They totally plummeted over the course of the last 2-3 months. Now, they've gotten it back here in the last few weeks, which is great. They're a good team. And I never said the Rangers are awful. I said the Rangers would come back to earth, which is what the Rangers have done. Do they have a good lineup? Yeah. I'm not an idiot. Yes, of course the Rangers have a good lineup.
Yeah,
a lot of people are like, yes, you are, Salk. you might be right. Yes, the Rangers have a good lineup.
Uh-huh.
They have good players on the team. They also have not just a bad bullpen, an atrocity for a bullpen. And I did sort of forget that they now play in a dome, but playing in Texas in an offense-heavy park tends to take a toll on your pitching staff. And so Jeff saying yesterday, can you imagine if those guys were healthy?
Scherzer and DeGrom.
Well, yes, but one of my fears and reasons I said I didn't trust the Rangers is because they got old pitching like that. Like, that was part of the calculation. So, yeah, it might not have worked, and those guys might have stayed healthy all year long, and the Rangers might have been a world beater. Ifs and buts were candies and nuts, be Christmas every day,
mm-hmm.
right? So, anyway, that's sort of the argument on the Rangers. They're a good team. I'm not convinced they're a great team, and I think the Mariners are a good team as well. Here's where I don't fully agree with Jeff.
Of all the formulas and secret sauces in baseball, that is the one by which I will abide to the end. If you hit home runs, then not only do you have a chance, but you are probably going to win. And if you out-homer your opponent in the playoffs, the winning percentage there is ridiculously high.
All right, so he's looking at the numbers and saying whoever homers more wins. I'm not going to argue against the math.
Yeah.
But there's two ways to look at homers, who hits them and who prevents them. So while I agree with and understand the math behind it, I'm not going to try to argue statistics with Jeff Passan. That's a bad plan. But whoever limits home runs can win those same games because they're giving up fewer home runs. Yeah, you got to hit some, which is why I think a Pete Alonso would be a good fit for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. I'm not against the Mariners hitting home runs, by the way. I am very for it. I am for Pete Alonso hitting home runs for the Mariners. I'm for Julio maybe occasionally hitting a home run for the Mariners. Or Cal Raleigh. Or Teoscar Hernandez. Or Gino, who was way down in terms of his home run production this year. I wouldn't have minded if Ty France had hit one now and again. And I think it's great that they had a DH in Mike Ford who finally found a way to start making some contact and hitting home runs.
And maybe supplemented with some of JP's home runs.
I'm not against home runs.
Yeah.
But I'm also very much in favor of limiting the damage in those games as well. And I do believe at my core that good pitching will eventually beat good hitting. I do believe that good pitching will beat good hitting, which is why I was so disappointed last week in the effort in Texas, because unfortunately bad pitching is kind of what we saw.
Would we agree that at the beginning of the year, if Bryce Miller or Brian Wu made it to the big leagues and pitched a little bit, that was sort of the expectation. Like, maybe one of them is going to come up. Like, they've both become vital parts of this rotation. And the Mariners are where they are because of Miller and Wu. But we also have to understand they don't face lineups like the Rangers very often.
Agreed. Guess what, though? I don't need those guys to give up six runs in the game. They didn't need to dominate the Rangers. I wasn't looking for that. You're not going to beat the Rangers by shutting them out. I get that. They've got a good offense. They don't have a great pitching staff. And guess what? In two of those games, the Mariners scored 5 and 8 runs. But they gave up so many that it didn't matter.
And Jeff would probably say they were out-homered.
They were out-homered, yes.
And that supports his point.
But they also gave up too many walks and this and that.
They gave away some free outs, absolutely.
Give up those one-run home runs, they win the games. You can't give up the 2 and 3 run, 4 run shots, and unfortunately, they did some of that. So, look, this is sort of splitting hairs. It doesn't really matter. The Rangers are a good team. I think the Mariners are a good team. I think the Astros are a good team.
Yeah.
I think the Blue Jays are a good team. There's going to be room for three of them to make the playoffs. And who gets hottest and executes the best here in the final week is going to be the teams that stays on, and the other ones are going to go home.
And the Blue Jays final four against the Rays, who have final three against the Rays, yep. I should say, who have still a solid mathematical chance to win their division. Now, Baltimore plays Red Sox, I think, for four is the final of their season. So obviously Baltimore's got the advantage in this, but it's not like one of these teams is going to be given up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like they can start resting people.
All of these teams should be in it until the end, and hopefully that will play to the Mariners' advantage. God, would I really, 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 really like to see this team win and get in and all of that. But, you know, anyway, let's see. Text probably disagree. Let's see. Yeah, Salk, I'm usually on your side, but I'm going to have to disagree. Defense does not win championships in baseball. I didn't mention defense. I mentioned pitching. It's pretty different. Salk, could Alonso be swayed by his home run daddy, Julio? Maybe.
Be the same. I don't know. That guy.
Got it, Salk. No way will you say the Mariners should spend trades. Sure. Hey, that wasn't me. It was Jeff. I'm just quoting Jeff Passan.
Yeah,
in that case.
Passan also said that the Rangers sort of do what the Mariners didn't. When they see that it's time to spend, that's what they do. Like, when they see that it's time to strike, they're going to spend to back it.
Yep. Are you sure the Mariners thought that this was the time to do that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. I think that's
what
they
did
or
not.
People believe that is probably what they're saying. And he'd also say.
But again, I'm just going with what Jeff said. Jeff's line was the Mariners are going to need to do something big in the trade market this offseason.
Yes.
I'm literally just reacting to that.
Totally. I agree. Another thing that
this also says purchase a proven top of the line free agent hitter this year. There aren't any. Other than Shohei Ohtani, and yes, that would be wonderful.
And he said we were not a Shohei Ohtani away from fixing it either.
Let me also be clear. Why is here's another one. Skyway Dave. People get very upset about this one. Why is Salk so tight about spending money that isn't his? Jeff was right. I am perfectly happy for the Mariners to spend money. It's not my money, and if they choose to spend it, I'm all in. Go ahead. Spend whatever you want. I don't care. I just don't think it's the only way to have success. And I don't think it is an automatic way to achieve success. Mariners have had high payrolls and lower payrolls, and I've not seen a huge connection with how many wins they've had. The Padres and the Mets had gigantic payrolls and have been an absolute train wreck. The Rays are arguably the best team in baseball this year. There are middle grounds to this, and that's all I've ever said. Go spend money. On the right free agents, on the right people, I would have loved to have Trevor Siemian here. Marcus Siemian,
not the backup quarterback.
I would have loved to have had Siemian here.
Yeah.
He didn't want to come here, but I would have been happy for them to spend the money on that. I think that would have been a good signing.
Same.
Did I want a guy who's a light? Did I want Trey Turner into his 40s? No, I think that's bad Bogarts. Decision for your team. It's about the team. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's how do you make the best team? And I don't care if they spend money or not. That's not the important thing to me. I care if they win. And if they've got a good strategy on how to get there, money is not the important thing to me. And if they spend more money this offseason, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go take on more salary. If you can go get Juan Soto and trade for him and sign him long term, I'm all in. And I loved when they spent the money on Julio and loved when they spent it on Castillo and loved when they spent it on Crawford. And I love that. That's great. And if that payroll continues to rise, awesome. Take advantage of the moment. I'm in for that. I'm not against spending money. I want them to do that. I just don't think it's the only way. And it's just that little thing called facts that always kind of gets in the way of these stories and narratives because the facts are what they are. Let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, well, without Mora here, without Brock here, there's really nobody to torture. So
it's always fun when you can't hold it over my
head. It isn't as fun. I know.
Prove how much music we've listened to.
You know what's been really sad?
Well.
I'll tell Mora this next week. You know what's kind of sad for her?
That she's missing.
No.
Right. Nothing sad for her. I'm not going to feel sad for her. She's in Cabo.
Every night I've come home this week, Bruin immediately asks me, what did you rank today? And I feel bad for Mora. I feel so bad for her. When I tell her this, she's going to be so upset. But every night I come home, right? Yeah. I do the show and I do whatever. I got to come back. Bruin gives me a big happy tail wagging greeting. I'm watching Mora's dog this week, Bruin, who's awesome. And the first thing she asks every single day, what did you rank today? Because she just wants to know. She's just into it.
Does she also give you some of the big misses that we may have hit?
She will. Yes, that's a good point. That's she will actually come back.
Bruin's smart. She gets it.
She's a smart dog.
And she doesn't get it when Mora's home. So I get why she's like trying to feed it.
It's sad for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that she kind of feels like she's missing out on a huge part of life that Mora just won't provide for her. I don't want to call her being like, you know, a neglectful dog owner. But I do feel like, you know, She's neglecting her in the ability to give her some good ranking. Yeah. In any event. All right. Justin, with that in mind.
Five games left
to play. top five Mariner surprises this year, because the one thing that has happened over and over again is that this team does continue to surprise us,
yeah,
right?
I mean, you said wait 5 minutes for things to change.
Gosh.
Surprise around every corner.
All right. I've got some positive, some negative. Here are my five biggest Mariner surprises. No honorable mentions, because there's only five games left to play.
Yeah.
So you just dig right into it. Number five most surprising thing I heard.
I didn't execute. He had a good pitch. I wish I wasn't out there for the seventh, to be honest. So I was at 90 pitches, and I didn't think I needed to go anymore, but, you know, it is what it is. So,
is that a conversation in the dugout, or is it?
It'll be a conversation soon.
He walked it back. He apologized the next day. I think it's a fantastic learning experience for him, for the team, et cetera.
And then to do it last night.
Yeah, Brock kind of brought up last night, right? Like, Pedro Martinez, not wild about the body language, maybe showing up teammates, some of that stuff. I think there's going to be some learning for George Kirby in terms of how things get perceived on the mound.
And his body language, he did not like the umpire last night.
No?
Walking off, shaking his head at him, staring him down. Like,
yeah.
Man, he's got that's a lot of fire.
Kind of how he is.
Yeah.
And I love a lot of that. Figure out how to channel it. Figure out how to use it the right way, because he's so darn talented.
He shoves against the Astros.
But I got to tell you, I was shocked by those comments.
Me too.
Those blew me away. In a million years, I never, ever would have expected that out of George Kirby, as competitive as he is. And that's like the number one thing you got to know about Kirby. He hates throwing walks. Mm-hmm. He's got unbelievable command. And he is really, really competitive.
Did you see, not to derail you anymore here, did you see that Divish tweet last night about his intentional walk?
No.
That was the first intentional walk, I think, that he has given up since 2017 with Elon.
Well, and it was it was a 3-0 count,
yeah,
and they ended up putting the guy on.
Yeah.
You think he was mad about that?
Sure he was. That's a loss to him. It's a free base. He didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's true. Well, whatever. Those comments completely surprised me. In a million years, I never, ever would have expected that to happen. Yeah, so good on him. That was pretty darn cool. All right. Number four. As I said, we're going through Mariner surprises ranked. Number four.
Here's the pitch. Well hit, ball deep to right field. Way back goes Renfro to the warning track, looking up, and it's gone into that sea of red. Goodbye, baseball. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, it's up there in the seats. Mike Ford with his 15th home run of the season, his second home run in as many games.
Yeah, I was going to, I sort of chose that one at random, but that's a Mike Ford home run. Sorry, Ricky, my bad. That's a Mike Ford home run, and raise your hand if you had Mike Ford contributing the way he has this year.
Especially the way the DH position started, and I know if Brock was here,
it was a disaster.
To have this conversation.
DH position was a disaster.
But yeah, Mike Ford. Out of nowhere.
He's been great.
All accounts, people love him, right?
Like, they got, great, I think it's 29 home runs out of the DH spot now. They have more home runs out of the DH spot than they do out of third or first or left, and I think out of right. Isn't that crazy? I was looking it up last night. I know they have more home runs from the DH than they do first, third, or left. I think it's also true of right field. That's nuts. Considering kind of where things started with this position for the first 2-3 months of the season. Huge props to Mike Ford for coming in and just stabilizing.
Is Cal Raleigh anywhere in this list?
No.
I don't want to spoil anything.
No.
Okay.
No, Cal. Cal's been not that surprising.
Not surprising. I'm just saying a couple of stats I didn't know till last night. The 24th caught stealing was the most caught stealings in baseball this
year. Tell you what, that's been impressive here.
That has been impressive. The last couple of weeks.
I was like, man, Cal's not throwing out as many guys
as
you might like.
And then he throws out three of the fastest guys in baseball.
Dude, he's been on fire. Absolutely on fire. That was a bullet that he threw last night. All right, number four is Mike Ford. Number three, I'm sorry, this one's a negative one, but it still surprises me, and that's Ty France. Yeah. Thankfully hit the home run last night, but this disappointing season from Ty France, I did not see coming. Back healthy, the wrist was healthy, the thumb was healthy.
That's the thing, is I would expect this if his wrist was still barking at him or he was dealing with an oblique.
I don't know what happened, man. Ty France... 2 years ago, and even the first half of last year, one of the best hitters in the game. I love watching him. Everything he does, we thought he could win a batting title.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at this point when Ty gets on base, and it's just too bad. He's such a good hitter. Something is not right with him, and I really hope they find a way to get it right, because otherwise, I don't know how you can bring him back next year.
Maybe
he's
quietly getting warm, because he had doing 2-for-4 on Saturday and Sunday.
That would be nice.
He had a home run
last
night.
Really, really use it.
Yeah.
He's such a talented hitter, and if he can find himself again, What a huge help.
How
it would
are we
be
going longer on this rank than we have? Okay. It's our number
two.
Three.
Number two. J.P. Crawford.
Yeah.
The power, everything. I mean, I guess.
The power is surprising. Nothing else.
We knew that he had gone. I'm just surprised in general, man. He's been so good. I knew he was good. I didn't realize he could be this good
for
a full
year.
I knew he could do it for a month or two. I didn't know he could do it for 6 months. And he has. He's done it for the entirety of this season. Huge props to JP. Number one, and they're going to need it tonight, the two twin kids, Miller and Wu, with their fastballs. You're going to need it out of Bryce Miller tonight. And you're going to need one more out of Wu. Yeah, just those two guys together and what they've done since being called up.
Yeah, lasting the whole season. Yeah,
they've been phenomenal. They really have. Lasting the way they have, bouncing back after some tough starts. And they're going to need to do that one more time, right? They each have one more start left on the docket. Well, you need it to be great. You need Bryce Miller to give it all tonight. You're going to need Wu to do it one more time against Texas.
Did they show on the broadcast last night King Triton was there from the Little Mermaid musical that's at the Fifth Avenue Theater?
Avery and Heather went to that over the weekend.
Oh, King Triton was at the game.
Really?
Yes. He trained himself.
Heather said that Avery was a better Ursula in her play than the Ursula out
that
on stage.
High praise.
Yeah. Or maybe a huge insult. I don't know.
I think it's high praise.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's are we going to get out of here? Praise. I got to go see Bruin and tell her. She's going to be very disappointed to hear how we rank today, but I will go see her.
Clear a bunch of foreigner and let her know. Notes.
Yeah, she'll like that. Hey, Bruin, you like Tom Petty? All right, we'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Go Mariners. Till then, the hay is in the barn. See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!